across the summer of cycling here at 11:16 SEN with the likes of Phil Liggett and Mike Tomalaris. And, of course, we've got the Tour Down Under starting on Saturday. So the next leg of the summer of cycling continues. And a man who won a gold medal at the 2000 Olympics on a bike is Scott McCrory. He joins us on the line now. G'day, Scott.
G'day, Kevin. You've gone down to the bottom of the barrel, mate. You mentioned Liggett and Tomalaris, and now it's McCrory.
No, absolutely not, Scott. Great to have you on the program. Now, the we've had some terrific events already with the Bay Criterion around Geelong and Port Arlington and into Williamstown. We've had the National Championships, the road race, which is, I know, very near and dear to your heart. How have you seen the summer of cycling so far?
Well, it just gets better. You know, it's easy for me to talk it up because I'm a former professional cyclist. I've been involved in these events for a long period of time now, but cycling in Australia is just getting stronger and stronger. And of course, you know, our greatest ever cyclist, Cadel Evans, is now several years retired, yet the next generation just keep coming through. And that's what we saw in particular at the National Championships last weekend. Miles Scottson won the men's road race in incredible fashion. And I put out a tweet not long afterwards. I took a photo of from last year's race, 2016. That was won by Jack Bobridge, and I said, possibly the greatest individual performance at the Road National Championships I've ever seen. And right beside that, I put up Miles Scottson, who just won that day.
Yep.
Did possibly the greatest race we've ever seen at the National Championships. So we're just going from strength to strength.
His tactic was quite spectacular in many ways.
It certainly was. He actually looked at it. Now, he's a track specialist, rode the Olympic Games last year. He was the last reserve that didn't get a ride in the team pursuit event. He was bitterly disappointed by missing the Rio Olympic team, but he's bounced back very strongly and he's put himself in the mix for the national championships. He signed a professional contract with none other than the BMC racing team, which was Cadel Evans' former squad. And then he's looked at the national championships being a non-specialist at the moment and thought, you know what, 18 times up the hill, so 18 laps, 18 times up Mount Buninyong, and then he wanted to attack at the end. He had this pre-planned thought in his mind that if he gets to the finish, he's not going to out-sprint the likes of Simon Gerrans, so he wanted to attack in the last 2 kilometres. So he thought, okay, it's pretty simple. 18 hill efforts followed by a two-kilometre attack at the end, and that's exactly what happened, which was just extraordinary that a young man, you know, was able to think ahead, really plan it. He even actually changed the chain ring on his bicycle. So you buy a normal bike and it has 53 teeth on the chain ring on the front of the bike.
Yeah.
He put a bigger one on because he knew the last 2 kilometres was downhill. And if he was to attack then, he'd need a bigger gear ratio on his bike. And that's exactly what took him to the victory.
All cyclists across that kind of technical knowledge about their bikes?
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
some of them just get told what to do. Probably the majority of them. Go out there, train this hard, do this hard. Ride to this amount of wattage, you know, this sort of heart rate. And then often in Europe, because they are hooked up via race radio back to the team cars, the team tactics are being dictated to them by someone sitting back in the team car watching it on television.
Now, he didn't have a team.
No, he was there on his own. He did have two incredible teammates that didn't show up in Rowan Dennis and Richie Porte, so two of the favourites for the Tour Down Under. And Richie Porte, you know, is an outside favourite to win the Tour de France this year. But those guys decided not to ride the national championships, so Miles went in solo and came away with the win. So who needs teammates?
Yeah, well, you've got to ask, that's a question you obviously would have to ask. Do you need a team tactic and do you need the help of teammates? Or do you just do what he did and that's, you know, let your own natural instincts kick in and off you go?
Look, it would be in a case like next year, if we look at next year, he would be a marked man now that he's the reigning and defending champion.
Yep.
He would need teammates to replicate that kind of victory. So Simon Gerrans, for example, if he went in on his own, then there was very little chance he could win because he needed the team to neutralise a lot of the attacks that were happening because of Simon Gerrans being in the race.
Yep.
So I guess with a bit of age and a few more big results, a rider like Miles, he can get away with it once, maybe twice. But from then on, he really does need a team to set him up.
I was going to say, he caught him with their pants down. He's laughed all the way to the to the podium with that, and he might enjoy it because that ain't going to happen again.
Exactly. Look, and in the elite women's race was won by Katrin Garfoot, who, born in Germany, she fell in love with an Australian, moved out to the Gold Coast only 5-6 years ago, I think it is. She's only been riding. She's mid-30s now.
Yep.
Took up cycling after the age of 30, and she is an absolute terminator, incredible on the bike, and she's been tearing the men's bunches apart in training up on the Gold Coast for a number of years, and then she really dominated in the women's race as well. So two really interesting stories. Former German, now racing for Australia, and the youngster in Miles Scottson on his own.
Scott McGrory is my guest on the phone, the 2000 Sydney Olympic gold medalist. Are we seeing a changing of the guard with the men's and the women's? I mean, the Miles and Caleb Ewan, they're both very young men. Are we starting to see the new breed come through?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you see it in football circles as well, don't you? You know, yeah. In cycling, you'd normally have more longevity in cycling because of, you know, the nature of the sport. It's, you know, haven't got the impact that you have in football, and often, once, you know, I hear it all the time, when football players turn 30, then they, the coaching staff start questioning whether, you know, they've got much more of a future in the sport, where Simon Gerrans is still at his absolute best. He's 36. You know, Cadel Evans was, his late 30s when he retired as well. So, you know, cycling, you can have a lot more longevity because of the nature of the sport, but there certainly is this next generation that are coming through, and they're hot on the heels of the stars like Richie Porte and Simon Gerrans.
Caleb Ewan's a really classic example, isn't he? He's been around now for a couple of years, not a long time, but a couple of years, so we know a fair bit about him. Well, what's his longevity? Has he been cotton wooled through a little to this stage?
He has been, because, yeah, he turned professional at such a young age. There were lots of teams that were looking at him. So it was the Orica Green Edge squad, our very own Australian World Tour team, that decided to buy him up nice and early to stop him from just going for two reasons, so that they can actually, you know, keep some hold on him for themselves, but also to stop him from being exploited by some of the European teams, because he is a super fast sprinter, and while he's riding very well now, he's an absolute superstar of the future if he is protected, and that's what the Orica Scott team, as it's known this year, have been doing over the last couple of years. He's still only 22, and we talk about someone like Simon Gerrans, you know, the age of 36, that tells you how much more of a career Caleb Ewan has.
So where does he go to next?
So he's got the Santos Tour down under this week. He'll be trying to pick off a stage or two in that. And then I know he's not riding the Jayco Herald Sun Tour, which is coming up the first week of February. So he heads off to Europe. And that's mainly because that particular race is very brutal this year. There's only one stage that really suits him that is likely to be a bunch sprint. So it's really for, you know, the riders like Chris Froome and Esteban Chavez, you know, two of the big stars from the Grand Tours, the Tour de France, Tour of Italy, etc. You know, they'll get to duke it out at the Jayco Herald Sun Tour up Falls Creek, nasty climbs up in the Alpine region. So for Caleb Ewan, it's really about going to Europe and then actually taking a bit of a step back, because the Aussies, remember, we're all racing flat out now.
Yeah.
No one else in the world is doing bike racing yet. It's a European-based sport, and it's still freezing cold and covered in snow over there at the moment. So some of these guys like Caleb just need to take a little bit of a pause over a couple of weeks just to bring themselves back down again and then start building up for the early season classics racing that's coming up soon.
So what's his Tour de France if he's not a Tour de France winner of the future? What is he shooting for, Caleb Ewan?
Perfect. I guess the best analogy is, you know, someone like Robbie McEwen, who won 12 stages at the Tour de France, riding for various teams, but, you know, the Aussie from the Gold Coast.
Yep.
That's the kind of rider that Caleb Ewan can be. He can be a stage winner at the Tour de France, but not a contender for the overall classification.
So does that make him a really important person to have in your team if you are the Cadel Evans coming through?
It's important to have someone like Caleb in your team because he almost guarantees victories throughout the season. So if you have, you know, a Cadel Evans perhaps in your team where you focus on the Tour de France and yet he finishes second or third, well, effectively you've lost. Whereas Caleb Ewan, he will pick up multiple race wins throughout the year. And, you know, that's good for your sponsors. As long as you're standing on the top step of the podium, sometimes throughout the year, that takes a lot of pressure off the other riders. That's the thing that Caleb will be doing over the next few years for a lot of his teammates at Orica Scott, is taking that external pressure away by picking up a lot of race victories. And he takes that pressure on board very well. Mark Cavendish, you know, the British rider from the Isle of Man, he's another one that takes that sort of pressure on very well. You know, and look, sometimes it's really tough. You know, if you're the man that has to win and the entire team works for you all day and then you finish second, well, especially as a sprinter, you've lost. So it really is an exceptional athlete that can take that kind of pressure on, pick themselves up, you know, and go back out there the next day and try and get the win.
Scott, if the Tour de France is the pinnacle for most riders, then what is on offer for them to be at their best and to be really competitive in, for instance, the Tour Down Under next week?
Interesting. It's an interesting question because, look, cycling, perhaps a bit like tennis, where, you know, Wimbledon is maybe the major Grand Slam, but all of the top tennis players will be on song for the Australian Open. and the US Open. Now, there are so many big traditional events in cycling. There's so much prestige around, you know, the one-day classics in the European spring, the autumn classics, the end of the year, the Tour of Italy, the Tour of Spain. They've all got an enormous amount of history and prestige attached to them.
Yep.
So while we all understand the Tour de France is the biggest thing in the sport, getting a good result in any of those other races is, you know, almost as important. So the riders are more than happy to really focus on early season races where they know that not everybody's going to be in top form, so it's their best chance to get a good result. And not forgetting the Santos Tour Down Under is a World Tour event. It is the first race in the season of the World Tour. So the points that you earn as an individual also go to your team, which gives the team a good car selection in the race convoy behind the peloton in the early season races in Europe. And that's very important for races like Paris-Roubaix, where there's not much space. If you're car number 20 in the convoy and your rider's up front that maybe favourites have a mechanical problem, you just can't get to them in time to help them get back into the race.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of other strategy going on behind the scenes that makes the Santos Tour Down Under very important to the European teams.
And the Cadellans race now has the same sort of clout?
Absolutely, yeah. Now it's gone up into being a World Tour race. You know, and look, it's challenging because it's so early in the season. A lot of the Europeans don't really want to be going at their best now, but they know they have to be on form because these races are now so important. And for the Cadel Evans race, it actually opens it up to a bunch of other riders that might not be best suited for the Tour Down Under, you know, over multiple days, but they're very good in a one-day race. So, you know, they really have a second chance of getting some good points for the World Tour by going to Cadel's.
And is this where we see that team tactic work? Because your French winner's not going to win here in Australia, but he might be part of the team that does actually win some points to get you into a better position.
Oh, look, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Every team will go into these races with one or two scenarios. They'll have one or two riders that they're really targeting, perhaps some of them only one, that they really want to get a good result for, that they see that has the best chance on this particular course, that type of terrain, to have their best chance to go for victory. And the other six riders in the team of seven will be doing everything they can throughout the day to try and set that rider up so that he can go for victory. And then, of course, they all share in the prize money. They all share in the points for the team so they can get a better chance in those other races once they get back to the continent.
So, Scott, who should we be keeping our eyes on for the Santos Tour Down Under?
Hard to go past Simon Gerrans. He's won it four times in the past, although I have mentioned his age already, and I hope he's not listening. at 36, you'd imagine at some point he's going to have to start slowing down. I know he was looking very good at the national championships. He won the bunch sprint for second place, only metres behind Miles Scottson. So his form is good. Is it good enough to win his fifth Tour Down Under? I'm not too sure. Richie Porte, Rowan Dennis, two riders on the same team, BMC Racing as well, the same as Miles Scottson. Both those riders are well suited to doing well at the Tour Down Under. The question is really, for Richie Porte in particular, how fit is he? Because he really is focusing on July and the Tour de France. But I think Richie Porte at 90% is still good enough to win the Tour Down Under. So look, they're for me, the two favourites, Richie Porte and Simon Gerrans. And the main reason I have them as favourites is because they're the Aussies and I want to see them beat the Euros.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we all want. Good on you, Scott. Appreciate your time. Thank you very much for joining us today.
No worries. Thanks, Kevin.
Sydney 2000 Olympic gold medalist Scott McGrory joining us there talking the summer of cycling getting underway on Saturday with the Santos Tour Down Under. We'll keep you updated on that here on 1160 SEN.